Welcome to the Conference Committee on the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill. We are going to continue to review the side-by-side language comparisons. We started that yesterday, and we want to continue to do that today. We are going to start with Article 1 of the Senate file, and that's the Children and Family Services portion. And if we have time, we will and complete that, and we will probably pick up, I believe, on Article 3. So we'll see how far we get, but we are going to start with Article 1. I would like to ask Senate Counsel Ms. White if you would begin to lead us through that. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. This is House Article 1 compared to portions of Senate Article 3. And I'll be going off the staff side by side. House Section 1 and Senate Section 1 are identical. They modify the definition of family within the child care assistance statutes. And about the first nine sections of this article are related to or modify the child care chapter of law. Section 2 is a House-only provision. It requires the commissioner to set aside 2% of the basic sliding fee child care appropriation for the at-home infant care program. Section 3 is a House-only provision. It reduces the maximum rate of assistance that can be paid for at-home infant care from 90% to 64% of the rate that's paid for licensed family child care assistance. House Article 4, Senate Section 2 are identical. They limit the child care assistance payments to child care centers that provide services and receive CCAP payments for children whose parent or person who resides with the child is employed at the center. House Section 5, Senate Section 3 are identical. They prohibit child care assistance funds from being used for child care services provided by a provider who resides in the same household or occupies the same residence as the child. House Section 6, Senate Section 4 are identical, prohibits CCAP payments for child care provided in the child's home unless certain conditions are met that are specified in this section. Section 5 is a Senate-only provision, and it requires legal non-licensed child care providers to complete CPR training.
Tab 1.
House Section 7 and Senate Section 6 modify child care rates. The Senate reduces child care rates by 5%, and both the House and Senate specify the maximum payment for to a provider for one day or one week cannot exceed the daily rate or weekly rate, respectively, and both eliminate payments for activity fees. The effective dates in these sections are different. House Section 8 and Senate Section 7 modify legal non-licensed family child care provider rates. The House reduces the rate paid to legal non-licensed family child care providers, and both the House and Senate eliminate the rate differential for non-standard hours. Moving on to page 4, House Section 9, Senate Section 8 are identical, and they eliminate absent day payments for legal non-licensed child care providers and limits absent day payments to 10 days per calendar year for licensed providers. Section 10 is a House-only provision, and it's related to the electronic benefit transfer debit card. Subdivision 1 requires cash benefits for general assistance, Minnesota Supplemental Aid, and the Minnesota Family Investment Program to be issued on a separate EBT card. Subdivision 2 prohibits EBT debit card holders from using the card at vendors located outside of Minnesota, and specifies that this does not apply to the food portion of the card. Subdivision 3 prohibits the card from being used to purchase tobacco products or alcoholic beverages. Section 12 is a Senate-only provision, and it's a conforming change related to changes that the Senate made to the General Assistance Program. The next several House sections modify general assistance and Minnesota supplemental aid. The Senate repeals all these general assistance sections because that program is consolidated into the Adult Assistance Program, which is in Senate Sections 23 to 27. Section 11, House Only, modification to general assistance. It removes several categories of eligibility, and it requires the recipients to complete at least 20 hours of volunteer paid work, and it provides an exemption for persons who are unable to obtain or retain 20 hours of work. The Senate repeals this section of law. Section 12, House Only, increases the general assistance earned income disregard from $50 to $150 per month. The Senate repeals this section of law. Section 13 increases the maximum earned income disregard for certain persons receiving general assistance from $150 per month to $500 per month and increases the earned income savings account from $1,000 to $2,000. The Senate repeals that section of law. Section 14, House Only, it modifies eligibility criteria for emergency assistance. Senate repeals that section. Section 15 relates to the Minnesota Supplemental Aid Special Needs section of law. The Senate removes several of the special needs categories, and the House does not. And the House modifies housing provisions under the Shelter Needy provision. House Section 16 modifies eligibility of SSI and MSA recipients for emergency assistance and allows them to apply for the general assistance emergency grant under Section 14 of the House language. Sections 14, 16, 17, and 18 are Senate-only provisions. Section 14 amends the MSA program by striking the references to special needs and special diets. Section 16, Senate only, strikes the reference to state money appropriated for community action agencies. And Senate only, Sections 17 and 18, strike references to funding for the Family Assets for Independence program.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm going to continue on going through the staff side-by-side for this article. House sections 17 through 21 are House-only sections related to group residential housing. Section 17 defines supplementary services. Section 18 prohibits counties from entering into agreements with GRH providers that do not include a residency requirement of at least 20 hours per month of volunteer or paid work. Section 19 prohibits counties from negotiating GRH supplementary services rates with providers that do not enforce a policy of sobriety. Section 20 modifies the supplementary rate for a certain provider, and Section 21 reduces GRH supplementary service rates. Senate Sections 19 and 20 are Senate only. They impose a 60-day residency requirement on the Minnesota Family Investment Program. Current law imposes a 30-day residency requirement, and current law is stricken that allows the residency requirement to be waived for unusual hardship. House Section 22 is House only. It reduces the MFIP vehicle asset limit from $15,000 to $10,000. Senate Section 21 is Senate only. It modifies the MFIP program by reducing the MFIP grant by $150 per SSI recipient who resides in the household. House Sections 23 and 24 are House only that relate to MFIP. Section 23 specifies that activities done for political purposes are not included as work activities, and Section 24 requires participants to be working in unsubsidized employment for at least 20 hours per week in order for post-secondary education or training to be an approved activity in an MFIP employment plan. Senate Sections 23 to 27 establish a new adult assistance program by combining the general assistance, emergency general assistance, emergency supplemental aid, and Minnesota supplemental aid special needs and special diets into one block grant for counties for low-income adults with a 60-day residency requirement, and then the counties are given flexibility to spend the funds on the target population. The House modifies the general assistance, emergency general assistance, and Minnesota supplemental aid programs while the Senate repeals those to create this new adult assistance program. House Section 25 is House only. It adds that county juvenile treatment screening teams must conduct screenings within 15 days of a request for a screening, and adds the child's parent, guardian, or permanent legal custodian as a member of the screening team. House Section 26 is House only. It adds a cross-reference to another section so that children in voluntary foster care for treatment can be screened by the juvenile treatment screening team. House Section 27 is House only. It's related to food support. It modifies the time in which counties have to issue food support for applicants who meet the federal criteria for expedited issuance of food support and removes some obsolete language. House Section 28 and Senate Section 32 are both modifying the child support recovery fees. The Senate increases this fee and the House does not. And the House and Senate both modify how the funds are distributed to counties and how counties may use the funds, but the House and Senate modify this in different ways, and the effective dates are different. House Section 29 is a House-only section requiring the commissioner to contract with a specified organization to provide healthy community initiative grants. House Section 30 is a House-only section requiring the commissioner to provide grants to community action agencies to foster social assets to assist people out of poverty through circles of support. House Section 31 is House-only, allowing school districts to coordinate with local units of government and homeless services providers to use empty school buildings as homeless shelters. House Section 32 is House-only. This is related to the EBT provision that we went over earlier. This is requiring liquor stores, tobacco stores, gambling establishments, and tattoo parlors to negotiate with their third-party processors to block EBT cash transactions at their places of business and withdrawals of cash at ATMs located in their places of business. House Section 33 is House only. This is establishing the Minnesota EBT Business Task Force. This section sets out the membership and duties of the task force and requires the task force to report back to the legislature by April 1st, 2012, and it sunsets the task force on June 30th, 2012. House Section 34 is House only. It requires the Commissioner of Human Services to develop a streamlined alternative to current reporting requirements under the CCSA service plan and requires the Commissioner to submit recommendations and draft legislation to the legislature by November 15, 2012. Senate Section 39 is a Senate-only section. It's a revisor instruction to make conforming amendments and correct statutory cross-references as necessitated by the repeal of the GA, the Emergency GA, Emergency MSA, and the MSA Special Needs sections, and the creation of the new Adult Assistance Program. And then House Section 35 and Senate Section 40 are repealers. Both the House and Senate repeal the Child Support Incentive Grants and Child Care Assistance Payment of Activity Fees. In addition, the House is repealing EBT transaction fees and EMSA income and resource test and payment amount. And the Senate is repealing several sections related to general assistance, emergency general assistance, the Minnesota Food Assistance Program, emergency MSA, and MSA.
Thank you. Entertain any questions from members of the committee on the section of the side-by-side comparison? Any clarifications needed or issues? If not, then we'd like to turn to Article 3. And review that section of the bill. And I'm not sure which side is going to begin. Is it the House side?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll begin with the first several sections of this article. House Section 1 is a House only provision related to health notes. It requires the Commissioner of Health to make recommendations to the legislature about a process under which a committee chair can request a health impact note to determine how proposed legislation might impact the community or the state. Section 2 is a House only section. It permits a family daycare or group family daycare provider to locate a program in a commercial space rather than in the provider's residence. Currently, family daycare and group family daycare are provided in a residential location. House Section 3 and Senate Article 5, Section 8 are identical. They both require the commissioner to modify the combined application form for assistance with a question to determine whether an applicant is a military veteran.
Excuse me, you said the Senate language, what was the reference?
It's in Article 5, Section 8.
Okay, thank you.
Section 4 is a House-only section. It's a level of need determination. It limits charges and payments for level of need determinations for non-emergency medical transportation to $25, but exempts level of need determinations for special transportation services for people that need stretcher-accessible vehicles from a hospital. Section 5 is a House-only section. It requires the most direct route for purposes of reimbursement to special transportation providers to be determined by commercially available mileage software. House Section 6 is the same as Senate's Article 1, Section 16. This is related to assessing a spousal contribution for community spouses who have a spouse receiving long-term care services either in a facility or in the community. There are several differences between the House and the Senate approaches. The House definition of community spouse excludes spouses who receive home and community-based services. The House places responsibility for the collection of the spousal contribution on the county or the tribal agency that has taken the application for assistance. The Senate puts this responsibility on the Commissioner of Human Services. House requires reconciliation of the account to make sure there have not been over or under payments annually, and upon redetermination or at termination of eligibility, the Senate requires reconciliation at the time of review. The House bill defines what a hardship exemption is and describes what documentation is necessary to prove the hardship. The Senate bill describes the process for claiming the hardship but does not define the term or the documentation. In regard to the method to enforce payments, the Senate uses a cross-reference to Subdivision 2 existing language in this statute. The House lays out a separate process. Because the House has the counties and the tribes collecting the fee, the House version allows the counties and tribes to retain one half of the non-federal share of collections.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, continuing on page 5, House Section 7 is a House-only provision requiring that elevators not meeting building code requirements be taken out of service until they meet the requirements. It also sets up a new compliance timeline. Continuing on House Section 8, again, the House-only provision that establishes an alternative compliance timeline for elevators that have a current law compliance deadline of January 29th, 2012 or later. It requires that a compliance plan be submitted, and that's based on the date of the owners of elevators were notified of the compliance issues. Continuing on page 6, House Article 9. Again, House only provision that states that all individuals who are eligible for developmental disability waiver services are entitled to receive adequate services within the limits of available funding to ensure that their basic needs are met. Instructs the Commissioner of Human Services to convene a working group to define the essential services and establish a hierarchy of need tier system. The commissioner and county representative are to co-chair. A county representative are to co-chair the work group. Continuing on House Section 10 and Senate Section 38. They're similar, except that the House requires the commissioner to conduct an analysis of how programs affect marriage, whereas the Senate requires an analysis of whether programs affect marriages. The Senate also requires an analysis of general assistance and services for people who are mentally ill, chemically dependent, or have developmental disabilities. The Senate uses the term healthy marriages, and House uses just the term marriages. House Section 11 is a House-only provision that requires the Health and Human Services Commissioners to receive approval from three of the four chairs and ranking minority members of the committees with jurisdiction over health and human services issues before spending any federal grant funds or renewal of federal grants. Continuing on page 7, House Section 12 and Senate Section 25 creates a working group to – they're similar – they create a working group to develop a proposal to create a single administrative structure for providing medical non-emergency transportation services to fee-for-service medical assistance recipients. It requires that a report is due to the legislature on January 15th, 2012. It also details what the working group is to work on, for example, bill processing, scheduling, data collection, et cetera. The House does require the working group to establish criteria to maximize public transit use for people who are physically, mentally, or otherwise impaired. It's something that the Senate does not have. And finally, there are some grammatical differences, one of which is the House uses the term non-emergency medical transportation. The Senate uses the term medical non-emergency transportation. Continuing on to page 8, again, House Section 13. It's a House-only provision requiring the Human Services Department and Minnesota Management and Budget to recover overpayments for administrative services from brokers of non-emergency medical transportation services if deemed appropriate after an attorney general review. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lobeco. Are there any questions from members with respect to this section of the bill? And I'm wondering if we can continue with the side-by-side review, if that's
great.
Okay.
Carry on.
Can we do Article 4? Can we proceed with Article 4 and do the House side? Would you like to begin with Article 4?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, House Article 4 and Senate Article 7 relate to licensing board fees. I'll be working off of the summary side by side. House Section 1 is House only, and it makes technical changes that require the Board of Chiropractic Examiners to set their fees in statute rather than rule. House Section 2 and Senate Section 1 there's a small formatting technical difference, but otherwise they're the same, and they set registration fees for animal chiropractors.
You were the more fluid.
House Sections 3, 4, 5, and 7 are identical to Senate Sections 2 to 5, and this relates to the Board of Nursing. It removes language related to adopting fees and rule and accepts and expands grant permits the board to accept and expand grants and gifts for purposes consistent with the board's authority, and permits the board to accept registration fees for certain meetings and conferences, makes other technical changes, modifies requirements for temporary permit, and then also sets out the fee schedule and statute. House Section 6 is House only, and that one would require fees be set in, that are set in statute to be deposited in the state government special revenue fund. Senate Sections 6 through 10 are Senate only, and they establish the Nurse Licensure Compact. House Section 8 Sections 8, 9, and 10 relate to the Board of Marriage and Family Therapists. These are primarily technical changes, setting out the fee schedule and statute, moving it from rule. Section 11 is house only, and this adds a fee for advanced dental therapist certification and for full faculty dentists. House sections 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 relate to the Board of Dentistry. For the most part, they're technical changes. Section 13 clarifies an annual license fee, and Section 16 provides a fee that would be collected by the board for a licensee who fails two consecutive professional development audits.
Mr. Chair, starting on page 4, House Sections 17 to 27 and Senate Sections 11 to 21. These are all identical, and they codify the fees for the Board of Pharmacy, and then they make conforming changes throughout the Board of Pharmacy statutes related to that codification. And if you turn to page 6, Section 22 is Senate only. This establishes in statute the Administrative Services Unit for health-related licensing boards to perform the administrative, financial, and management functions for the boards. And then Senate Section 23, this is the effective date for the Nurse Licensure Compact.
Thank you. Any questions from members?
Mr. Chair, if I can. Just,
yes, Representative Abler.
I'm just on Section 22, that Administrative Services Unit. You don't have to go in much detail, but it's just the – did that come from the board, or is that a governor's initiative, or is that part of some other
– I believe Representative Abler, I believe this was part of the governor's recommendation, and I can't recall maybe Mr.
Albert. Chair, I believe this is already in existence. I'm thinking they're just putting it in statute. I mean, there already is an administrative services unit that works, and there.
And Mr. Albrecht, there was no financial impact to this. Was that correct? It was just sort of moving from one place to another.
Okay. Well, thanks. They'll let us know, I bet. Thank you.
I think the big section, Article 5 on health care, I think we're going to defer that for the time being. And we want to go to Article 6, continuing care. Is that acceptable? Okay. And who would like to start? The House?
Mr. Chair, I'll start with the staff side-by-side of Article 6, the continuing care article, and it's Senate Article 1. The first section, Section 1, is a House-only section. Allowing the Commissioner of Health to approve a request for consolidation of nursing facilities and then requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to calculate a property payment rate adjustment based on the consolidation and specifying the requirements that nursing facilities must meet in order to receive the property payment rate adjustment. Section 2 is also a House-only section making the TEFRA parental fee temporary increases that were made in 2010 permanent. House Section 3 and Senate Section 1 are identical. They modify the disability linkage line by adding information dissemination responsibilities. House Section 4 and Senate Section 2 are identical. They're making conforming language changes related to a section further on down in the article. House Section 5 is House only. This modifies administrative appeals language related to case management services and makes this section effective January 1st of 2012. House Section 6 is House only. Beginning July 15th, 2013, it limits the nursing home license surcharge to only occupied license beds that are not on layaway status and specifies how the commissioner shall compute the surcharge amount. This Senate-only Section 3 was already discussed in the Article 3 side-by-side summary. House Section 7 and Senate Section 4 are modifying asset limitations for individuals and families. The Senate bill disregards the assets of MAEPD recipients and their spouses and the income of the spouses for MA eligibility purposes. Both the House and the Senate bills are removing obsolete language and correcting internal references. House Section 8 is house only. It specifies when income adjustments must be made for persons on MA who are institutionalized. House Section 9 and Senate Section 5 are identical. They increase the monthly premium for MA recipients that are employed persons with disabilities from $35 to $65 effective January 1st, 2014 for adults age 21 or older and October 1st, 2019 for children age 16 to before their 21st birthday. Senate Section 6 is a Senate-only section striking language that makes persons with one activity of daily dependency ineligible for PCA services effective July 1st, 2011. Senate Section 7 is Senate-only. It applies the existing home care rating system to PCA services recipients with two or more ADL dependencies and sets the home care rating for PCA services recipients with one ADL or level one behavior to no more than 2 units per day effective July 1st, 2011. Section 10 on the House side is a House-only provision related to self-directed supports. It's adding some definitions specifying eligibility and eligibility for other services, modifying assessment requirements, laying out the self-directed supports option plan requirements, covered services, non-covered services, self-directed budget requirements, quality assurance and risk management provisions, fiscal support entity provisions, requiring stakeholder consultation, and modifying the maximum enrollment for the self-directed supports option and making the option available statewide. House Section 11 is a House-only section related to the PCA program. It's limiting payment to PCAs who are providing services to a relative and defining the term relative for the purposes of this section. House Section 12 is a House-only section also related to PCA. It's expanding the documentation requirements for PCA provider agencies and allowing the commissioner to fine agencies that do not comply with the documentation requirements. House Section 13 is a House-only section. It modifies the definition of long-term care consultation services and makes this section effective January 1st, 2012. House Section 14 and Senate Section 8 are similar. They both relate to assessment and support planning. The Senate bill allows the provider of long-term care services to provide input during the assessment process, and the House does not. The House language changes the time between the assessment request and the long-term care consultation team's assessment from 15 days to 20 days and allows the updated assessment to be completed either face-to-face by phone or written communication and requires the community support plan to include annual and monthly budget amounts for the services. House Section 15 is a House-only section. It modifies determination of nursing facility level of need to conform to federal MOE requirements. House Section 16 is House-only. It modifies payment for long-term care consultation services, allows counties to set a fee schedule for the initial assessments and support plan development, and limits the maximum fee to no greater than the actual cost of the initial assessment and support plan development. House Section 17 and Senate Section 9 are similar. They both relate to eligibility for funding for services for non-medical assistance recipients. The only difference between the two sections is that the House bill strikes the following language. Effective January 1st, 2011, this determination must be made according to the criteria established in Section 144.0724, Subdivision 11. House Section 18 and Senate Section 10 are identical. They allow funding for elderly waiver services for people with up to two ADL dependencies and limit the monthly cost for elderly waiver services for all new enrollees effective July 1st, 2011. And it establishes how to convert the per diem nursing facility rate into an elderly waiver monthly budget for nursing facility residents applying for elderly waiver services. House Section 19 and Senate Section 11 are identical. They remove an automatic annual adjustment to the elderly waiver monthly case mix cap related to nursing facility payment rates, and they modify the monthly conversion budget limit calculation. House Section 20 and Senate Section 12 are similar. They both relate to the customized living service rate. The only difference between the two is that the Senate bill allows for input from the customized living services provider in ensuring proper documented need. House Section 21 and Senate Section 13 both relate to the 24-hour customized living services. The only difference here is that the Senate, again, allows for input from the customized living services provider in ensuring proper documented need, and the House does not. House Section 22 is a House-only section. It modifies the determination of nursing facility level of need to conform to federal MOE requirements. Senate Section 14 is a Senate-only section requiring elderly waiver clients, provider of services, to be provided a copy of the client's written care plan. House Section 23 and Senate Section 15 are identical. It's removing some obsolete language and prohibiting MA rates paid to customized living providers by managed care organizations from exceeding maximum component rates. And House Section 24 is a House-only section related to statewide availability of the self-directed support services option. It is basically making technical changes to conform to changes that were made earlier on in the article.
And Mr. Chair and members of the committee, continuing on the top of page 10, House Section 25 is a House-only provision. It specifies the types of agencies that can and cannot provide case management services, specifies who is eligible to receive case management services, removes language related to the administrative functions in case management, allows home and community-based waiver recipients to choose their case management service provider, and it requires counties to designate a case management service provider for certain individuals. House Section 26 is a House-only provision. It requires case management services recipients and any legal representatives to be provided a copy of the coordinated service and support plan. House Section 27, House-only provision, requires the case management service provider to assure that service providers develop individual provider plans when the need is identified in the coordinated service and support plan. Continuing on to House Section 28, it's a House-only provision making conforming language changes related to the renaming of the coordinated service and support plan. House Section 29 is a House-only provision making technical and conforming language changes to the authorization and termination of the community and regional treatment center services. House Section 30 is a House-only provision making technical and conforming language changes related to terminology and requiring the certified assessor to provide written notice of the annual and monthly amount authorized for services. House Section 31 is a House-only provision. It creates a state quality council and requires the Commissioner of Human Services to create a regional quality councils for certain licensing functions. Requires an annual survey of service recipients, and it makes members of the quality councils mandated reporters under the Maltreatment of Minors and Vulnerable Adults Act. Continuing on to page 13. Senate Section 16, which is also House Section 3, in Article 3, and we covered this in the miscellaneous article, so I'll move on to House Section 32, which is a House-only provision. It establishes timelines for counties to determine medical assistance eligibility, as well as the county's responsibilities if those timelines are not met. On the next page, page 14, House Section 33, And Senate Section 17, this is one of the non-rate payments we talked about during the bill tracking discussion. This eliminates payments for leave days and nursing facilities in the Senate side. On the House side, the House follows the governor's recommendations of reducing the payments from 60% to 30%. Senate Section 18, also another non-rate payment. And this is there's no change to the payment. It's just cleaning up the language. It was originally a 90-day incentive program. Those have expired, and so this is simply cleaning up the language to title it a 30-day incentive program. Senate Section 19, another non-rate payment. It's a Senate only. It eliminates the nursing facility bed incentive, and this is a governor recommendation. House Section 34 and Senate Section 20 are identical, and it's regarding a property rate increase for a nursing facility in Bloomington, effective November of 2010. House Section 35 is a House-only provision suspending automatic property rate adjustments for the rate years beginning on October 1st, 2011 and October 1st, 2012. House Section 36 and Senate Section 21 are similar. They're another non-rate payment eliminating the nursing facility plan closure rate adjustment. There's one minor change. The Senate uses the term under this section. The House uses the term under the subdivision. And my apologies, Senator Hand, but we do recommend the House language.
Another victory for the House.
Continuing, Senate Section 22. This modifies certain nursing facility operating payment rates, proximity adjustments, and this is actually Senator Newman, Senate File 87. Senate Section 23, it's another non-rate payment. It eliminates the private room incentive for medical assistance recipients in nursing facilities. House Section 37 is a House-only provision requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to adjust the operating payment rates for certain low-rate nursing facilities. House Section 38 and Senate Section 24, this is the nursing facility rate equalization phase-out, and there are some differences. Both begin with a 2% rate increase. However, the Senate begins it on October 1st, 2011. The House begins it on July 1st, 2011. And they both continue with a 4% additional increase on October 1st, 2012. And again, both continue with a 6% additional increase on October 1st, 2013. And then finally, both continue with an additional 8% increase on October 1st, 2014. From there, the House phase-out ends, and in addition, the Senate continues, and by sort of starting October 1st, 2015, there are no rate restrictions. And again, there are a few other language differences.
Just one second. Mr. Baker, did you have a question?
Well, I just wanted to clarify. Some people, I mean, you said it exactly correctly, but I just wanted to make sure people understand. I don't know the Senate version exactly, but the House's intent was to have an increase only 2% per year up to a total of 8, and it could be compounded for a maximum of 8.24%. There's been some people have written us saying 131% as they do 2, 4, 6, 8, and then they keep going up to some ridiculous infinity number. Just so you know, the House position is the maximum increase allowed under here is 8.24%, and I don't know what this – I'm not criticizing the Senate at all. I'm just making clear what the House did. It was a modest attempt at doing something about it, and then we do stop it at the 8.24% rate. And just to clarify, because on behalf of some of our members who have gotten emails from people who weren't listening during the hearing at the time when we did it either, so just to clarify the House position, and I think the staff did it well, too. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Lobeko, in the Senate version of that language, it ramps up to 8%, but then there's no additional restrictions or would allow that rate to go up. After that, is that correct?
As of October 1st, 2015, yes.
Thank you.
Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Continuing on the top of page 16, House Section 39. It's a House-only provision, removing a cross-reference related to nursing facility level of need determinations and federal maintenance of effort requirements. House Section 40. It's a house-only provision that modifies how case management services are provided to CAC, CADI, and TBI waiver recipients by aligning their case management services with developmental disability waiver recipients. House Section 41 is a house-only provision requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to develop criteria to identify individuals whose level of functioning is expected to improve and reassess these individuals every 6 months. It states who does the reassessments and requires transitional services plans for those who meet the new criteria. House Section 42 is a house-only provision that modifies coordinated service and support plan, comprehensive transitional service plan, and maintenance service plan requirements for CAC, CADI, and TBI waiver recipients, again, in alignment with the developmental disability waiver recipient plan requirements. On to page 17, House Section 43. It's a house-only provision requiring the commissioner to increase the daily rate at a specified ICF-MR facility in Clearwater County. House Section 44 is a house-only provision requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to decrease the operating payment rates for all but one ICF-MR facility. House Section 45 removes a reference to the PCA program from the definition of excluded time under the Unitary Residence and Financial Responsibility chapter. Both House Sections 46 and 47, they're both house-only provisions, and they both modify an effective date to conform to federal maintenance of effort requirements. House Section 48, regarding continuing care grants, it's a house-only provision, and it removes a provision related to alternative PCA services. Again, continuing on page 18, House Section 49, several directives to the Commissioner of Human Services. Upon federal approval, it requires the commissioner to develop and implement a co-payment schedule for individuals receiving medical assistance, home and community-based services. Requires the commissioner to seek an amendment to the home and community-based waiver programs for persons with disabilities related to residential services. Requires the commissioner to consult a stakeholder group on changes that could be made to the personal care assistance program to improve oversight, program efficiency, and cost effectiveness, and to report to the legislature by February 1st, 2014. Requires the commissioner to report to the appropriate legislative committees with recommendations for developing and implementing a pay-for-performance reimbursement system with a quality add-on by January 15th, 2012. Continuing on page 19, requires the commissioner to work with stakeholders to develop and implement a plan to transition individuals currently residing in ICF-MRs into the least restrictive community settings possible by June 30th, 2013. It allows individuals residing in ICF-MRs who choose to remain there or whose health or safety would be put at risk in a less restrictive setting to continue to reside in the ICF-MR facility. It also requires, Subdivision 6 requires the commissioner to make recommendations to better manage funds for persons who rely on a representative payee, and requires the commissioner to review the autism treatment benefits under TEFRA option and make recommendations to the legislature by January 1st, 2012 on extending the same benefits to MA managed care and county-based purchasing. Continuing on to House Section 50, it's a house-only provision. It requires the Commissioner of Human Services to submit a state plan to implement the self-directed supports option as soon as Minnesota is granted federal approval by July 15th, 2011. House Section 51, house-only provision, requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to submit a home and community-based waiver program amendment consistent with implementing the self-directed supports option, requires a waiver amendment to be consistent with case management services changes and to be submitted by September 1st, 2011. Continuing on to page 20, House Section 52 is a house-only provision requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to establish rates for in-house services and personal supports under all home and community-based waiver programs by January 1st, 2012. House Section 53, House Only Provision, requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to establish rights for case management services under home and community-based waiver programs by January 1st, 2012. House Section 54, it's a House Only provision, requiring the Commissioner of Human Services to develop a report on case management redesign with specific recommendations and proposed language for legislation by July 1st, 2012. House Section 55, it's a House-only provision establishing the My Life, My Choices Task Force to create a system of supports and services for people with disabilities governed by certain specific principles. It outlines the membership, the duties, and the expiration of the task force. And finally, Senate Section 26, a Senate-only provision that creates a nursing facility pilot project to develop a new approach to caring for certain individuals, and a report is due to the legislature on November 15th, 2011. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lobeko. Can we continue with Article 7 and portions of Article 3? Does that work?
Mr. Chair and members, on to House Article 7 and portions of Senate Article 3, staff side by side. Section 1 is a House-only provision, but it relates to a latter Senate section. It's related to electronic verification, and it authorizes county agencies to use automated databases to determine eligibility for child care assistance programs. Article 3, Section 9 is a Senate-only section. It limits child welfare pilot programs to available appropriations. Sections 2 and 3 are House-only provisions. Section 2 allows the commissioner to authorize a test project for the White Earth Band to provide child welfare services. Requires Hennepin County to transfer proportion of property taxes collected and used to fund child welfare services for this population to the tribe when the tribe assumes responsibility for providing the services. Section 3 is a House-only section. It instructs the commissioner to enter into a contract with the White Earth Band for the tribe to provide all human services and public assistance programs to tribal members who reside on the reservation. Requires the commissioner to seek federal approval and waivers as needed to implement this project, and instructs the commissioner to redirect all funds provided to Manoman County for these services to the tribe, including administrative expenses, when the project is operational. It also provides that in consultation with the tribe, the commissioner is to determine which programs will be transferred, and provides that when the programs are transferred, Manoman County is relieved of the responsibility of providing the services. And it also requires Manoman County to transfer the proportion of property taxes allocated for funding of county social services to the tribe, and requires the tribe to comply with all federal and state reporting and recording requirements. House Section 4 and Senate Article 3, Section 10 are similar. These relate to computer system simplification. The House, it basically requires the commissioner to reprogram MACCESS to automatically apply child support payments, and requires health plans to accept an updated billing format. The House inserts in the Subdivision 1 that the reprogramming of MACCESS is part of an enterprise architecture project. That's the only difference in Subdivision 1. And Subdivision 2 contains differences. The House applies the subdivision to prepaid health plans, and the Senate applies to House health plans generally. And then the billing format in Subdivision 2 is different in each subdivision. House Section 5 and Senate Article 3, Section 33 are related but different. The House authorizes the determination of eligibility based on automated databases, and the Senate requires the Commissioner of Human Services to report back to the legislature defining which programs may be electronically verified for purposes of eligibility and define procedures for verification. House Section 6, Senate Article 3, Section 11, relate to the provision of required materials and alternative formats. These sections permit prepaid health plans to provide medical assistance enrollees and potential enrollees with required materials in a medium other than paper. The two sections are similar, but paragraph D is different. The Senate allows a prepaid health plan to provide information for persons who are in managed care, and the House lists four categories of individuals. On to page 6, House only, section 7, recovery of overpayments. Actually, sections 7 through 10 are the same policy applied to different programs. It establishes limits establishment of an overpayment to 12 months prior to the month of discovery due to an agency error, and 6 years prior to the month of discovery due to client error. House only section 7 relates to general assistance. The reason the Senate doesn't have this is because we repealed, or the Senate repealed, general assistance. Sections 8, 9, and 10 apply that same recovery of overpayment policy to the MSA program, the MFIP program, and the food stamp program. The only difference is sentence structure. The Senate makes the subdivision into two sentences, and the House doesn't. It's very, very technical.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on to page 7, House sections 11, 12, and 13 are identical to Senate sections 29, 30, 31 from Article 3. They modify the county redesign legislation that was passed in 2009. Then in House sections 14 through 16 is a continuation of that modification of the county redesign that is House-only language. Skipping to page 10, House Section 17 is similar to Senate Section 34 in Article 3. It is about alignment and verification of redetermination policies. There are some differences. The Senate requires the consultation with counties and other stakeholders to align program policy and procedures across public assistance programs, and the House requires the commissioner to align eligibility verification and procedures for health care, economic assistance, food support, child support, and child care. On page 11, House Section 18 is identical to Senate Section 35 in Article 3 regarding alternative strategies for redeterminations for MA, MSA, food support, and GRH programs. House Section 19 is similar to Senate Section 36 in Article 3 regarding a system redesign for a phased-in integrated online eligibility and application portal. The House requires the healthcare portal to be developed in phases and to be developed first. And the Senate requires the vendor to contribute to the non-federal cost, share of cost, and the House requires the vendor to share in the risk of the project's success. On page 12, there's a Senate-only section in Article 3, Section 37, Uniform Asset Limit Requirements. Requires the Commissioner of Human Services to analyze the difference in asset limit requirements across programs and establish a consistent asset limit and issue a report to the legislature. House only has a repealer in Section 20. It repeals some of the county redesign language and replaces it with the new language in its House only sections. And the House repeals a rule regarding recoupment of overpayments.
Thank you. If there are no questions, I'd like to continue to get the chemical and mental health sections of the side-by-side.
Mr. Chair and members, House Article 8, Senate Article 2, the staff side-by-side on page 2. House only Section 1 relates to interstate contracts. This section of law generally allows the state to contract with facilities across state lines to allow the treatment closer to the home of the individuals. Currently, it allows mental health holds and chemical dependency treatment, and this section would allow the state or county to contract for detoxification services across state lines. Section 2 is a house-only provision. Limit liability of county reimbursement. It increases the county share for persons civilly committed to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program from 10 to 25%. Section 3 is a house-only provision. It prohibits mid-contract layoffs from occurring as a result of restructuring the MITO program, but permits layoffs as a result of low census or closure of the facility due to decreased census. Section 4 modifies the Civil Commitment Act to allow the White Earth Band to enter into the same agreements as the Red Lake Band with the Indian Health Service for care and treatment of tribal members committed for care and treatment due to mental illness, developmental disability, or chemical dependency. It adds that the White Earth can also contract with the commissioner for treatment of tribal members who have been committed by the tribal court. Section 5 is a house-only provision. It adds that the county requirement to provide chemical dependency treatment services is subject to the limitations imposed in new language in Section 7. Section 6 of the House is similar to Section 1 of the Senate, and they both increase the county's share under the Consolidated Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund for CD treatment costs. The House increases it from 16.4% to 22.95%, and the Senate increases it to 29.76%. Section 7 is a House-only section. Limits access to residential chemical dependency treatment services to no more than three treatment episodes for the same person in a four-year period and no more than four episodes in a lifetime, but it provides an exception that additional placements can be made when the person meets criteria established by the commissioner. House Section 8 is identical to Senate Section 2. It relates to eligibility for treatment in residential settings. It requires a person to score at a level 4 on an assessment dimensions related to relapse, continued use, and recovery environment in order to be assigned services with a room and board component. House Section 9 and Senate Section 3 are related to the increase in the county share for chemical dependency treatment costs. Again, the only difference is the House increases the county share to 22.95, and the Senate increases it to 29.76.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on to Section 10, this is a House-only provision that adds medical assistance coverage for services provided by a tribe for children who have a severe emotional disturbance and need residential care. Section 11 is a House-only section. And it states that payment for mental health rehabilitative services provided by tribal organizations must be made according to Indian Health Service facility statute or other federally approved methodology. Section 12 is house only. It instructs the commissioner to issue a report to the legislature on how to better utilize the community behavioral health hospitals. It requires a report to address the future use of these hospitals, especially those that are not certified as Medicaid eligible or which have less than 65% licensed bed occupancy. Section 13 is house only. Integrated dual diagnosis treatment. It requires the commissioner to implement integrated dual diagnosis treatment and requires the commissioner to seek any necessary federal waivers. House Section 14, closure of state-operated services facilities, is similar to a Senate rider that requires the commissioner to close the Community Behavioral Health Hospital in Wilmer on or before June 30th of 2011. The House requires it to be closed by October 1st of 2011. The House section also requires the commissioner to issue a report to the legislature. On page 6, House only section 15 states that no layoffs can occur as a result of restructuring services at the Anoka Regional Treatment Center and requires the commissioner to issue a report that provides the number of employees in management positions at Anoka and the Minnesota Security Hospital at St. Peter and the ratio of management to direct care staff for each facility. House Section 16 instructs the commissioner to develop criteria to approve individuals for treatment who require more than the four allowed treatments in an earlier section. House Section 17 instructs the commissioner to determine whether overnight staffing levels at the MSOCS facilities are adequate for the safety of the clients. And House only section 18 repeals the Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center redesign from the laws in 2009.
Thank you. The next two sections I have in my book are the appropriations, and do we need to review those, or are those sufficiently been covered in the spreadsheets?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If you're interested, we can go over language differences in the riders, but we don't have to because it can depend on how, you know, the decisions that are made in the end. But at some point, we'll need to rectify some of the rider language.
Where are those found?
In the appropriations article.
Well, we've got a few minutes. Why don't we go ahead and do that, and
okay,
as long as we have the time.
Check it off the list.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, on the first page of the appropriations article. Actually, I'm just going to go through and skip over similarities. So starting on page R4, to the left is the House language and to the right is the actual Senate language. You'll see House lines 315.4 through 315.9. There's a difference there. Now, this language allows the DHS commissioner to report expenditures made on behalf of non-citizen MFIT recipients who qualify for medical assistance as TANF and MOE expenditures. Continuing on to page R6. Again, there's House-only language. It allows the commissioner to transfer TANF funds to the Federal Child Care and Development Fund. Continuing on to page R7. Under the Supplemental Security Interim Assistance Reimbursement Funds portion of the language is about the middle of the way down. It's line 318.3 in the House and 167.29 in the Senate. This transfers uncommitted revenue for SSI advocacy and outreach to the general fund. The difference is the dates. At the very end, you can see the House has transfer and deposits of the funds by June 30th, 2012, and the House has it on October 1st, 2011. Continuing on to that right side, you can see below on line Senate line 168.1, the Senate is transferring about $109 million from the Healthcare Access Fund to the General Fund. Continuing on to page R8, on the Senate side, the right side, you can see the Human Services licensing activities and the child support cost recovery fees. That's Senate-only language. Continuing on to page R10. On the left side, the House side, starting with line 320.5, this language appropriates $100,000 in each fiscal year for Region 10 administrative expenses. This is House only. Continuing to page R12. You can see on the left side, the House language side, there's language regarding general assistance standard, emergency general assistance, and then down below to emergency Minnesota supplemental aid funds, all House only. On the next page, page R13, again on the left-hand side, the House side, there's coordinated care delivery system and payments for cost settlements. Again, this is House only. At the bottom of page R13, you'll see managed care incentive payments. The language is very similar except on the House side. The left side has these payments starting in fiscal years beginning July 1st, 2011, so this current fiscal year as well as the next fiscal year, whereas on the Senate side, it states that this provision does not expire. Continuing on to page R14, on the right-hand side, the Senate side, you'll see a non-administrative rate reduction. That's Senate-only language. Below that, both House and Senate have language regarding the reduction of rates for congregate living for individuals with low needs, lower needs. Other than a change, the Senate or the House has license holder two words. Senate has that as one word. The Senate also spells out the acronym, but otherwise it's the same. There is one exception, and that is in the middle of the Senate side, starting on line 172.16. You can see that the Senate does an additional 5% reduction in the next biennium, and the House does not have that. The section below, again, the only difference is the terminology and the spelling out of the acronym. Continuing on to page R15. On the right side, the Senate language. The Senate right here is managing the elderly waiver growth by actually stopping the growth. There's no growth allowed in the elderly waiver. And on the left side, this is House-only language, and this is regarding reducing customized living and 24-hour customized living component rates. Continuing on to page R16. Essentially, this is the disability or developmental disability waiver, and the House, I believe, limits the growth following the governor's recommendations, whereas on the right side, the Senate stops the growth in the developmental disability waiver. You'll see down below on the right side, beginning with Senate line 173.15, alternative care transfer, there is identical House language. It's a few pages down. It's on page R21. I'm not sure why they didn't line up. On the next page, R17. The House has two sections, limit growth in community alternatives for disabled individuals waiver and limit growth in the waiver for individuals with traumatic brain injury. Both of these sections, again, limit the growth in the waivers for those recipients. And I believe, again, that these follow the governor's recommendations. On the right side, the Senate side, the Senate stops the growth in both TBI and CADI waivers. So that's the difference, essentially. The House is following the governor's recommendation to limit the growth, and the Senate is stopping the growth. Continuing on to page R18 at the bottom, management of fee for service spending. That is a House only provision. Continuing all the way to R20, the contingent rate reductions. That again is a House only. Continuing on to page R21, the MFIT consolidated grant funds. That again is House only. Continuing to page R22, the healthy communities, the circles of support, and the northern connections. Again, all House only. On page R23, you'll see the federal child support demonstration grants. That's actually identical language to the House side at the bottom of page R23. Again, I'm not sure why those didn't line up. And on page R24, on the left-hand side, the adoption assistance and relative custody assistance payments is, again, house-only language.
Mr. Chair and members, on page R25, I'll start with the health care grant section. The rider at the bottom related to surplus appropriation being canceled is there's a technical difference, and the staff would recommend the Senate language.
Could you repeat?
Sorry. R25, bottom of R25. There's just, it's a technical difference on Senate line 176.2. They specify that it's the health care access fund, and it could be confusing if you didn't specify that.
R26 at the top, the grant cancellation is a house only rider. The state subsidy program for community mental health centers is a house only rider.
The aging grants reduction is identical. On R27, the essential community support grant delay is house only. And on the middle of the page, the Senate-only language for the deaf and hard of hearing grants reduction and the HIV grant program reduction is Senate-only.
On R28, the money follows the person rebalancing demonstration project rider is House-only, and the Region 10 rider is House-only. The personal care assistance funding rider is Senate-only on that same page.
On R29, the riders are all identical.
On R30, the transfer of authority for state-operated services rider is identical. State-operated services mental health, the numbers are the same, but the rider underneath seems to be different policy. The house is closing Wilmer's Community Behavioral Health Hospital by October 2011, and then also closes inpatient child and adolescent behavioral health service program in Wilmer, the subacute mental health facility in Wadena, and the community mental health hospitals in various other cities, all no later than October 1st, whereas the Senate is closing the community mental health hospital in Wilmer, and then relocates an existing child and adolescent behavioral hospital to that Wilmer location.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Yeah, I think just to clarify, I hope that was in the amendment, either in Ways and Means or on the floor, that we only closed Wilmer, and we did not close the other ones. And I think just to let the people who are listening to this group that didn't listen otherwise, I never really thought we should close those, but I wanted to create a dialogue. I'm quite concerned about just the lack of continuity throughout the whole system. And I figured by threatening to close a bunch of places, that might get people chatting about it. So they don't have to have a heart attack now that we actually brought it to conference. So that was meant to go out. I'm not sure if it was Ways and Means or on the floor, but I think that if that's not been done, then we need to make sure that's amended correctly.
Okay, Mr. Chair, we'll make note of that.
Okay, thank you.
Because
we paid for it in our amendment somehow.
So, Representative Abler, there was an amendment to deal with this, and do we need to?
Well, not now, but I think that we'll clarify that. But it should resemble the Senate position.
Mr. Chair, apparently the language was changed, but the rider it kind of was still hanging out there and was never fixed. So we'll address
it. Thanks. Just didn't want to concern the public unduly. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on R31, the transfer of authority related to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program is identical. The House has a rider that is a reduction to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. That's House only. That's on lines 336.19 to .24. Then the next section of the appropriations article is related to the Commissioner of Health. The first difference is on the bottom of R32. The House includes a variety of TANF fund appropriations that the Senate does not include. Let's continue on to the next page, and then the next difference is on R34. There's just a technical difference in the title of the Merck fund transfer. And then the comprehensive, or the it's the CALS life support. There's a appropriation that's house only rider. The unused federal match funds are identical. At the top of R35, the Senate has a loan forgiveness rider that's Senate only. And the next two riders in the House were taken out yesterday with the R59 amendment, and you should have gotten pages that indicated that in your packets today. So those are taken out. On R36, in the middle of the page, on the House side, under Ombudsman for Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities, the House provides that these funds are available until expended, and the Senate does not. The rest of the language on that page is identical. On R37, there's just a technical difference in the language. Of course, the numbers are different in the health professional service programs. So as far as the language goes, the staff would recommend the Senate language. The numbers will be determined later. And the rulemaking rider under the Board of Marriage and Family Therapy is House only. Same with the rulemaking rider under the Board of Nursing Home Administrators. House only rider related to electronic licensing system adapters. On R38, the development and implementation of disciplinary regulatory licensing and information management systems is House only. The administrative unit riders are all identical. On page R39, there is one technical difference, and it's a reference in the House to the Commissioner of Finance, and that should be the Commissioner of Management and Budget now. The next difference is on R40. There's another rulemaking provision under the Board of Physical Therapy. That's House only. Toward the bottom of the page, there's a Senate-only rider under Emergency Medical Services. It's a regional grants rider. Then the rider beginning on House 343.19 and Senate 184.1. They're both related to the Cooper-Sams Volunteer Ambulance Program. It looks like the dollar amounts are the same. The difference is that the Senate breaks out on page R41, breaks out the program appropriation versus the operations appropriation. Then continuing on R41, there's Senate-only riders related to ambulance training grant and the MSRB board operations rider. Then, Mr. Chair and members, Section 10 is identical, and there's a difference in Section 11, which is amending, I think, last year's riders. On page R43, there's a difference related to the DD waiver acuity factor. Both say that the provision does not expire, except that the House says effective January 1st, 2012, the 1% growth factor in DD waiver allocations is eliminated. And then, Mr. Chair, on the final page, R44, there's a technical difference in the transfer. It's the reference to the GAMC program, and so depending on whether or not it gets reinstated, which I think is
the position of both houses right now, then if it gets reinstated, we need the Senate language. If it doesn't, then we need the House language. So it's just a technical reference difference.
Thank you. Members, I think we're going to call a halt here for today. We do have a short forecast adjustments, Article 10 and 9, and there is a Senate-only article at the end of the book that relatively short, Article 4, Department of Human Services licensing, that we need to review. And then we have the whole health article, and my understanding from the House that we're going to meet on Monday, and perhaps you can tell us the time and place.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do want to point out with some regret that the Senate seems to have won the language war today, 2-1. I hope that gives you a nice weekend. You can revel in that short-lived success here. We'll have to work harder over the weekend to find language that we can find to be superior. Anyway, we'll be meeting at 9 o'clock in Room 5 in the SOB until about 10:45. We'll go through the health article and then the other two articles that were mentioned. And find some other ways to keep ourselves occupied. By the way, the amended Article 2 and a few other minor changes about that long amendment that we adopted last time has been inserted into the House. Members, if you look at that, the language has been made available to the Senate as well. And for the people at home, you can have a nice weekend of going through page and line and make it a little puzzle for your students, kind of a kind of project. Anyway, that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your attention. We are adjourned.